All right. Some weirdness among the Wildcats. Brawling in a bar. We'll have sex talk and more. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Tyler Scott filling in again for Jong Lee. If you want to get in today, 713-780-7780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T Scott, and you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. We do things a little bit different. When you call, text, tweet, send smoke signals, whatever you do, carrier pigeon, that'd be a good way to do it. Although I hate pigeons, they're disgusting. They're flying rats. So Tyler will have to deal with your carrier pigeon. Put odds on it. So technically percentages, and I know there's sticklers out there.
It's percentages. What are their percentages?
It's What Are the Odds Wednesday. What Are the Percentages Wednesday sounds so stupid that we've just made it odds. So put odds on it. What are the odds? It's going to be a fun show, man.
I'm going to go 80%.
I'm feeling pretty good about today's show.
Okay. 80% is a good number then, right?
Yeah, yeah. I actually feel better than 80%, but you never know. Things could go awry
you never
very quickly.
Know.
That's just the beauty of this. Like, suddenly you might have a job one day and you know think you have a promising team coming back next year, and then suddenly you're out of work.
Yep.
Rich Rodriguez?
Yep. Sometimes you're like, man, I got myself a special quarterback. Things are looking up, and I'm fired.
Yeah.
That can happen to the best of us, Fred.
Can it?
I got fired when I had the best ratings in the history of my station. The history of it. And I still got fired.
Yeah. Did you sexually harass anyone?
No. We put a remote control vibrator on our female intern and put her out on the street. I should have gotten fired, but, you know.
Actually, that's pretty funny.
Well, yeah, it was funny until I got fired.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
That's I think that's pretty awesome. I don't think you should get fired for that.
Well, I didn't either, but our station had just got bought by some very, very, very conservative guys. And I should have played it smarter.
So God didn't like that, is what you're telling me?
Apparently not.
Probably spoke to him directly.
You're going to have to fire that guy.
Get rid of this guy. He's a joker. Yeah. Get him out of here.
An intern, too. Get rid of her. We can't have sex on the air.
That's too bad.
Interesting. Well, what's got you in such a great mood?
Huh? Nothing. You know, short week. We only have four shows again, which I'm coming around that we should just have four shows every week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for some reason, you're always more fired up for them.
I prefer them. Yeah.
Yeah. But working 4 days a week would not suck.
It's not the worst.
No. But I'm just, I've got 10 days of freedom, so I'm kind of in a good mood.
Oh.
Not going to lie.
The wife left,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. She went to as she calls it, not Chicago, because she had to go back to Schaumburg for 10 days. So.
Okay.
So, yeah. I'm going to. Gonna have some fun here.
All right.
I'm stoked. Tomorrow we're gonna be at the Greyhound track. So down at Gulf Greyhound Park in Lamarck to do the show.
Yes.
And I'm gonna be back out there again on Saturday. I'm also hopeful that one day early next week I can get over to Lions and play that tournament again. So lots of plans. Gonna be fun. Gentry asks, what are the odds this UCF nonsense has any impact on expanding the college football playoff?
Zero.
Yeah, I don't think it will. Nor should it. I mean, I think it's a good story, but you know, let's.
I just don't think did you see that Central Florida paid their coaches a national championship bonus?
Yeah.
Which, okay, if you want to do that, that's cute, but no one thinks they're the national champions.
No one. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I think they're a good team, and I think that the whole. The concept, the media-created concept of Power 5 is kind of BS because that was a good enough football team that they could be competitive with these good teams. But the reality is they didn't belong in the playoffs. They didn't have – and we talk about this all the time.
Is it a media-created concept?
Yeah, it is. I mean, who made up the term Power 5?
I don't know, but, I mean, it's – there's a clear – gap from a talent perspective between the media perceived Power Five and the rest of the conferences. Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah. You want to go through and choose, look at NFL players drafted or?
Yeah, we can. But I'll tell you, I think the whole thing is it's a ridiculous term that people use because that doesn't exist. There is no such thing as a Power Five. You've made it up. People like you to say, oh, well, we're going to group these guys here. Because, frankly, the worst of those conferences and the AAC are pretty close. And then, you know, the Mountain West is completely different than the Sun Belt. I mean, the SEC and the Big Ten are better than the Big 12. You know, there's gaps in all of these. So to group those together and call them Power Five and non-Power Five, and it's also stupid for the AAC to call it Power Six. These are just made-up terms. They don't mean anything. And the reality is that UCF team, damn good. But the problem is they didn't play enough teams early on to build the resume they need to get in. And you can blame whoever you want for that, but that's reality. And if you're one of those teams that's not in those big conferences, you've got to go out and beat Oklahoma's and teams like that. And, you know, and Oklahoma plays those schools. They played Houston.
Yeah.
Came down here and played them. So if they had beaten somebody like that, I would have given them a lot more of an opportunity, frankly. But they didn't. And, you know, but they had a really nice season. Good for them beating Auburn. Game didn't mean crap to Auburn. And it meant everything to them. So
last year's draft had two players from non-Power 5 conferences drafted in the first round. 11 total in the first two rounds. I would say that's a pretty significant, and that's total, combined, all those conferences combined.
But we could go year to year on that, and I think you're going to see that the team, like UCF's got some NFL talent on there. And some of those guys may not go in the first round. A lot of guys don't go in the first round. But they've got guys who can play in the NFL. And, you know, I think that's, you see it all the time. You see a lot of great players come from these smaller schools.
But where do you see most of them come from?
Most of them are going to come from, well, the SEC is going to have the most every year.
The SEC will have the most, and then it'll probably...
And then it varies year to year.
Right. But if I said, let's go back over the last 5 years and count out by conference, do you think there would be five that stood a pretty good gap above the next conference?
I'd have to go look.
Because I think you'd be surprised how big that gap is.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, because I see a lot of really good NFL players that come from, especially the AAC and the Mountain West. And maybe they don't go as high as those schools because they don't have the reputation, but they turn into pretty good players. But I think my point is, putting all that together and calling it Power Five is the same thing as you did with BCS and non-BCS. It's a made-up name. And, you know, it's a pejorative made-up name, frankly.
I don't know what that word means.
Well, okay.
Explain it, please.
No. You know what? The bottom line is,
I would guess that most of our listeners don't know what that word means. I'm asking for a serious explanation here.
Really?
Do you know what that word means, Tyler?
I've heard it, but I don't know.
No. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a douche. I want to know what it means.
Well, it's basically means contempt.
Okay.
You're creating contempt for schools that aren't in the Power Five by creating that word or that phrase.
Okay.
Or you disapprove of the others. That's what it is.
I don't know that I necessarily disapprove of the others.
But it creates that stigma. That's my point.
Okay. Well, I agree with that. But I believe that stigma is also it's also a real thing. Like it's not an unwarranted stigma.
Well, and I'm not arguing that point with you.
Okay.
But I also think that when you just make something up like that, that we shouldn't take it as seriously. That's all.
All right.
You know, that's a phrase that was created by, like, so let's see. Let's take Kansas as a Power Five school.
Okay.
Does Kansas belong playing with any of those teams?
No.
And I mean,
they lucked themselves into a conference that carries them.
They did. But the reality is they don't belong in there. From a football perspective, from a basketball perspective. And that's funny because in basketball, you rarely see people refer to it as a Power Five.
Right. Well, but that's because they have the Big East, too. They'll usually call it If they do, they'll say the Power Six.
Yeah, which, again, is silly. So.
Well, I mean, that's like saying you can point out Kansas, who happens to be probably the worst Power Five team out there. But I could also say, well, is Tulsa or UConn? I mean, you're talking about the AAC. East Carolina right now? I mean, it's
East Carolina right now, no. I mean, UConn a few years ago when they went to a BCS game, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, those teams are capable of those kind of runs. They all aren't. I mean, the depth of the conference isn't there. That's the big thing. But I think Memphis has a potential to be the kind of have the kind of season Central Florida did.
I don't disagree.
That Houston's had that. I think there's four or five schools. That,
and I do I think the AAC is far and away the best of the non-Power Five conferences, from both an on-field and from the kind of talent they can push out into the NFL. Yeah.
But having said all that, if Central Florida were in the Big 12, I think they'd have three losses.
I think that's at minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's about right, actually. I think they'd lose one game you don't expect them to. Probably Iowa State. They'd lose to Oklahoma. Probably lose to TCU.
Okay.
They might lose one more in there. But for one game, yeah. So, no, it doesn't have anything to do with playoffs. But I just hate that term Power Five. I just think it's something that the media has run with because somebody created this term, and it's kind of silly. That's all.
Tim points out that Kansas won a BCS bowl, just so you know.
Yeah, well.
I do remember that. Mark Mangino with that big bowl of oranges.
Yeah.
He's like, he was waiting for someone to pour marinara on top of it.
Yeah. Josh says, but if Kansas went undefeated, they deserve a place. Because they'd have wins over OU and TCU. And this year, Iowa State, they'd have a win over Kansas State.
Yeah, they'd have enough quality wins to warrant that.
Which gets back, because I mean, I'm talking about a totally different point. I'm not saying UCF deserves to be in there by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that, you know, when you start categorizing, oh, well, they're non-Power Five, they're Power Five. That's what I object to, because it's a made-up term.
Well, I think the reason why they differentiate that is because I think outside of those five conferences, there are very few conferences where your schedule is competitive enough to carry, like your conference schedule is competitive enough to carry you. Like if you go undefeated in one of those other five conferences,
usually you'll get in.
Usually you'll get in.
There have been years where when you look at the Big 12 and you say, well, it's not really that good, so these quality of wins aren't that great. But then you're comparing them to SEC schools and Big Ten schools and things like that. Which kind of gets into what RJ and I were arguing about. I want to talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
Because I want your opinion on this.
Central Florida is going to raise a national championship banner.
That is dumb.
That is dumb. That's a... They're trying to become the Aggie of Florida.
Yeah.
That's an Aggie move.
That's very much an Aggie move. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Sets off an unsuspecting herd, and as you step back
in the line, a mob trips through their feet. This is the Blitz. Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman from the Blitz. BetDSI is one of the internet's top sports books. Don't ask me, just check out the sportsbook review sites. They are rated A+. They've got an impeccable reputation, fantastic features, easy deposits, and speedy withdrawals with pretty much every bet type imaginable. Go to BetDSI.com right now. Use my promo code BLITZ25 to get a $25 free wager just for registering. You can bet parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. Nothing makes watching football games better than wagering while the action is live. BetDSI offers live betting and prop bets while games are in progress. But they aren't just a world-class sportsbook. BetDSI has a fantastic online casino and racebook. You can bring Vegas right to your living room or take it on the go with your mobile device. If you ever get bored of betting on ball games, there are plenty of other ways to get some action at BetDSI. You can find odds on politics, reality TV, and pretty much everything else. If you're looking for a different online sportsbook, you've come to the right place. Over 20 years paying winners, use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. If you decide to deposit, you'll get a 200% bonus match on your money right now. Play on the go with their easy-to-use mobile interface. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's Blitz25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
You'll pay the same rate no matter how little or how much electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. It's an easy, fast sign-up process. No gimmicks, no surprises on your bills. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12. That'll lock you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents. When you use the promo code ESPN, you're going to receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. Again, they're just trying to make your home more energy efficient at the end of the day. What are you waiting for? It's an easy decision you can feel good about. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713 says, I agree that A&M claiming national championships in years they were undefeated is dumb, but that was pre-playoff. Now this is just comical.
Oh, it's a joke.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't think they belong in a playoff by any stretch.
Did a media outlet anoint them national champions? Because if they did, it seems really weird before.
Not that I'm aware of, unless.
Before all the games have been played. Usually they wait until after the last game to decide who the champion is.
I think they
That's
were.
That's a crazy concept.
Probably
I know.
Anointed by the Central Florida school paper.
Maybe so.
Maybe the Orlando Sentinel did
the
it.
The Daily Knight.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good name.
They're not putting out a paper daily. There's zero chance that Central Florida's student newspaper comes out daily.
So I thought one of the pushes for a playoff system was for the small school who runs the table to get a fair shake, but now we're told they don't play anyone, so why even rank them in the system with other D1 schools? It's not.
I agree. Well, get them out of there.
Well, see, I think that's dumb. that's one of your.
Like, wouldn't it be better?
No, it wouldn't.
Would it be better for them if there was a. And I know there's now a FCS, so we're talking about a level in between Power 5 and FCS.
No,
where you could have your own national championship.
No, that's
not going to make you. That's not going to make
horrible idea.
That's not going to make Central Florida guy feel any better.
No,
you get it. You're like, a champion though.
No, yeah, you know what? You know what that is? That's Texas high school football where they've created 6A and 6A Division 2 and 5A. To hell with that. That's just dumb. I hate that idea. I mean, the truth is, if you're really good enough, and I think Boise's been good enough in years that they could have gotten in that playoff.
Yeah,
Houston could have gotten in that playoff. I think if UCF had had a couple of signature wins, I mean, a lot has to go right. But it didn't happen, so they didn't get in. And also, some of these teams, they build their reputation over time. Boise's built its reputation over time.
Yeah.
So Boise runs the table, and it's a year like this year where you've got some two-loss teams. There's going to be a discussion. But, and I think you put Houston in the same boat. I think Memphis could easily get there, but they're going to have two or three or four years. I mean, is it fair? I think so. Because you prove you can play at that level over time, then you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. This is a winless team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's a great story that they did what they did. But, you know, it's also, for me, it's a stretch to say they belong. Now, they shouldn't have been rated 12th or whatever the hell they were.
I agree. I think
they should have been 7 or 8, somewhere in that range. And I do agree with what Scott Frost said. If you rank them too high and something happens, then you have to put them in there. I kind of get that. But, you know, do I think they'd be unbeaten? And I don't have a ton of respect for the Big 12 this year. Do I think they'd be unbeaten in the Big 12? No. I think they'd lose 3 or 4 games. I don't know, but
you know,
I think
their best. This was their non-conference schedule. And granted, it changed because of the hurricane.
Right.
But they beat Florida International, they beat Maryland, and they beat Austin Peay, which is a school that I attended. Little known trivia fact.
Even if it was Florida Atlantic, I'd say, okay, that's a decent win.
Right.
Florida International, not so much.
So can we agree their best win was Maryland, right?
Correct.
And their best in
well, Maryland, now it's Auburn, but yeah.
Right. Maryland was a 4-8 team in the Big Ten. Their the game that they lost, the Georgia Tech game that they replaced with an FCS. Actually, I don't think they're even FCS. I think they're Division II.
Yeah, I don't know what they
are. Austin Peay is Division II because they don't have football scholarships. So that's got to be Division II, right?
I think so.
Yeah. They replaced Georgia Tech, who, by the way, was a 5-6 team in the ACC with a Division II team. They did nothing in non-conference to make you go, you know what? They deserve a chance. They deserve Alabama's spot in the playoff. No. God, no. Stop it.
508 says expand to 6 with undefeated teams getting an automatic bid. No, because what if a Sun Belt team goes undefeated? You're going to automatically put them in there?
Because then you give teams like this in these smaller conferences no incentive to play out of conference games that are worth a damn. Like, I think the best example I can come up with was UH when they played Oklahoma and Louisville and they beat them both. And had they gone undefeated in the American Conference, which I think is the most respected conference,
because that outside would include wins over Memphis and Navy and pretty solid teams.
Had they finished undefeated that season, I could see you making an argument for them, but UCF clearly did not do the same scheduling that they did.
Well, you've got to have a signature win over one of those programs, and
or two.
Yeah.
And that's why I think UH really had it, because they had two signature wins that year.
Yeah, they just happened to choke away games that they didn't have. And that's why it's so hard to do it. And 2A1 says, give UCF schedule to Bama, Georgia, Clemson, OU. They all go 13-0. UCF wouldn't win 10 games with any of their schedules. I don't know that I'd argue with that. I think every one of those teams probably go 13-0 with that schedule. Certainly, I think Bama, Georgia, OU for sure. Probably Clemson, too.
Yeah.
Clemson did lose to Syracuse. So,
they did.
That's the one you kind of look at and you say, ooh, yeah.
But, no, I think it's a great season, and I think that what they accomplished was special for their school.
And you know what? They come back and go 13-0 next year, then
it depends on who they played non-conference.
Yeah.
Like, if your best win again is Maryland – sorry. That's not enough.
You'll have to do better than that.
Yeah.
And
I know schedules are made in advance, but sometimes it takes luck.
And I know in the past they've played they've played some pretty good teams. Texas opened that stadium for them.
Yeah.
A lot of it's luck of the draw. And at some point it's going to be that way when you get a bunch of one-loss schools from the big conferences. Somebody's going to get left out because it's happened to Baylor.
Yep.
And Baylor was trying to make a case, like, well, you didn't play anybody yet, and you lost. That's the thing.
Next year, their non-conference schedule is North Carolina, Florida Atlantic, and Pittsburgh.
That's solid. Is it good enough? Depends on what North Carolina winds up being.
I mean, if North Carolina wins 10 games and one of their losses was to Central Florida, it's reasonable.
Yeah.
But
that they're going to need them to be really good.
And I don't think they're going to be that good.
No, because I think that thing's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN. Let's squeeze in a call real quick with Brian.
What's up, Brian? Sports, Brian.
Sports, guys. Appreciate you taking the call.
Of course.
Quick two-parter for AJ, and I'll try to get a what are the odds on there. I know it's Wednesday. One, how did you become a Bills fan? I'm a Bills fan myself. Second part, what is your quote-unquote favorite, only the Bills could do that moment? For me, it's when the Broncos hit that last-second field goal to beat them as they're running on the field, the game that Kevin Everett almost died. And what are the odds the Bills actually get it done against the Jags? I'm not hopeful. Love the show. Appreciate it. I'll hang up and listen.
I would say the odds of the Bills winning basically boil down to if they've got a healthy LeSean McCoy or not. I mean, I think that's obviously that's the thing I look at and go, if he's not there, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. My favorite moment as a Bills fan was probably when they went to their fourth straight Super Bowl, because after the third one, I had kind of given up hope, but Thurman Thomas ran for like 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs, just blew them out. And I became a Bills fan because I was a Jim Kelly fan, because he was a Houston Gambler. And then when the Houston Gamblers disbanded, Jim Kelly went to Buffalo, and I became a Buffalo Bills fan because of Jim Kelly.
The Gamblers were so much fun.
They were cool.
Dr. Jerry Argovitz was the owner, as I recall.
No, I was like a little kid, but I had a Jim Kelly poster on my wall.
281 says Dan Le Batard anointed UCF the national championships, doing a whole thing. Champions doing a whole thing for them. Oh, okay. Well, that.
Well,
that
Dan Le Batard's a moron.
You know what? You know what we're going to do? You don't need to play the game Monday because I'm anointing Alabama national champs right now.
Is that what Dan Le Batard said?
That's not what he said.
Oh.
He said UCF, so congratulations. Oh, okay. Who cares what that guy thinks? My goodness.
Where do you put the emphasis on his name? Is it Le Batard or Le Batard or Le Batard? How's it work?
I don't know.
Does anybody have a...
Maybe just Dan.
Dan?
Yeah.
That's pretty boring.
Yeah. Or maybe it can be like you know how they mash couples' names together? Maybe we can just call him Dan Tard. Would that work?
For like a Facebook thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen
Dan Letard.
Dan Letard.
That sounds very French.
Letard.
What are the odds Fred hates the Big Ten? Just wondering. I don't know what gave you that idea. I'm not going to go and punch your clowns in public about how great your conference is, but I don't have any dislike or particular like for the Big Ten. It's a conference.
Lamont says UCF should consider it a win. You devoted two segments to these bums. It's not necessarily to UCF, but it's to the entire
process.
The process of it.
Yeah, I think they spurred the conversation.
Right.
But it also kind of got into a lot of other stuff about how you structure this. And I think, the talk of expanding the playoffs will be because they want to make more money. And that's the bottom line. If they think they can make more money off adding quarterfinal games, they'll wind up doing it.
Yeah.
And you know what? UCF might have gotten in and won a game. There's no way in my mind that they could have gone through two games against that kind of opponent in one.
Brandon says, on the Texans' current roster, 17 out of 53 players are from a non-Power 5. Yeah. The 4-12 MASH unit Texans roster where they signed a bunch of street free agents. Yeah. On that current roster, you got me. Ding, ding.
Where's their best player from, though?
Their best player?
Yeah, the guy who plays quarterback.
No, he's from Clemson.
Yeah. What about the best defensive player?
He's from Wisconsin or South Carolina, depending on which side you want to argue with that.
Not that really good wide receiver they have.
He's also from Clemson.
And what about that the other guy? Who
what
got
about
hurt?
Their kicker?
God. What about their punter?
That's right.
Of course, that back then they were probably still in the Southwest Conference when he was punting at A&M.
Yeah, he may have been.
God, that's going.
I don't know how long it's been, but
oh well. Hey guys,
no, 2000 they were out of the Southwest Conference
by then. Guys, if you want to get in on the action, you've got the championship game coming up. You got all kinds of stuff coming up. You got the playoffs are here. Now is the time. MyBookie.ag. You can start cashing in. And it's an industry-leading sports book that will hook you up for all your betting needs. NFL, college football championship, hockey, you name it. MyBookie has the best odds and action for players big and small. And they've also got horses, greyhounds, anything you want to bet on is on MyBookie. If you want to test your luck in a casino, instant blackjack, roulette, Vegas-style slots, they got all that too. So whatever you're into, you're covered. And when you score that big win, MyBookie will take care of you with the fastest online payouts in the business. That's what I like best about them. When I win, I get paid. Call MyBookie now at 844-900-2387. Mention promo code FRED. They'll throw in an extra 50% on your first deposit. 844-900-2387. Or sign up online using promo code FRED. You can also sign up online right on your phone. Just visit MyBookie.ag today. Bet with the biggest, bet with the best, only at MyBookie.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in on What Are the Odds Wednesday. Did you see that Brett Zwerneman, who right? Covers A&M for the Chronicle.
Yes.
Tweeted out.
Did he claim a national championship?
He probably has a banner somewhere in his office. But so just like the A&M, A&M coaching search zeroed in on one guy as its target in Jimbo Fisher, every indication I've received, A&M has been zeroed in on one guy at defensive coordinator since early on, LSU's Dave Aranda. I expect this to happen. So Bruce Feldman says, I'm pretty sure LSU's going to have to pay him $2 million-plus after Jimbo Fisher's first run at him, which I can't see them doing that. His buyout's 40% of his remaining salary if he accepts a non-head coaching position within 500 miles of Baton Rouge and 15% if outside of 500 miles. That's an interesting contract clause.
Yeah. Hey, College Station's within 500 miles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a that is odd. But so he says because they're focusing all their search on Dave Aranda, that
he's saying it's going to happen.
That means it's going to happen.
That's what Zornman says. He also said they were going to get Jimbo Fisher early on too.
Okay.
So
I
don't know what the love affair with this guy is, and wasn't Chavis supposed to be great?
Yeah.
How'd that work out? But then he'd already hired Daryl Dickey as his offensive coordinator, but Fisher's going to be the offensive guy. But you know, getting a good DC is important. I wonder if that's I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think they should absolutely try to get Aranda. I just don't know that they will.
$2 million for a defensive coordinator?
Dude, that's I remember when Will Muschamp, when Texas was obsessed with keeping Will Muschamp as DC, it changed the whole game for coordinators. Like, if you're a big-time coordinator, you can get that kind of dough now at some schools.
Yeah, and in some cases, it's better to stay there, like Kirby Smart did for all those years, to get the job you want.
Yeah.
Then how many times did his name come up for other positions?
Like, at this point, would you rather be the offensive or defensive Todd Orlando. What kind of job would it take for Todd Orlando to leave Texas? Like, it'd have to be a pretty seriously good job.
Yeah, what's he making there? $950 somewhere in that
right.
range?
Right, and if someone came after him, they'd be like, all right, here, we'll give you $1.5 million. Okay?
Yeah.
Would you rather go be the head coach at Kansas? Or, you know, name some other random, you know.
No, if you can afford to wait.
Would you rather be the coach at Wake Forest, or would you rather be the DC at Texas and not have to deal with the pressure that you deal with of being in a head coaching spot and still make really great money?
But that's the thing. If you're, all right, let's say you go to A&M with Jimbo Fisher and you have a bunch of success there as a DC and you're making $2 million a year after you had some success at LSU, your next job is going to be Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, is that level? Arkansas, better than Arkansas even, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know. 713, yeah, Drunk Bevo sits over $1 million for Todd right now. So, I mean, that's better than going to coach at, say, Utah State.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. Or Rice.
Yeah. I'm sure Rice pays well, but you're kind of doomed.
Yeah. What are you going to do there? That's like taking, I mean, I'm listen, being the Browns quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're drafted number one by the Browns, that pays as much as if you're drafted number one by the Patriots. But, it's not the same job.
713-780-ESPN. Mr. Gray wants to know, what are the odds the Saints beat the Panthers for a third time? I think they're going to. I think the Saints are going to win that game.
I do too.
I don't know about covering, but I think they win. More importantly, I like the over. But, yeah, I think the Saints win. And if you're the Saints, you want to root for the Rams. Because if the Falcons win, you have to go to Minnesota. Now, I think they'll do better than they did the first time in Minnesota. That was early in the year, and they had some defensive issues, and I think they're a better football team now. But
everyone would prefer.
Yes, you would much rather go to Philly and play there, because I think Saints and Philly would have a really, really good shot. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 281 asked, you guys watch Black Mirror yet? Thoughts? I have not.
I don't watch it.
My wife watched a couple episodes, and she's interested in it. So She'll probably be watching it on the plane, so I'll just find out from her if it's any good, and then I'll watch it. Although usually stuff like that, if I don't start watching it with her, I just don't watch it. I think the only one that I watched on my own for a while was Game of Thrones, and then she finally caught up on it.
I'm through four episodes of Godless.
How is it?
It's good. It's strong. Yeah.
Okay, because I've been looking at that one.
And they are long episodes. It's like an hour and 5 minutes each.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a strong little series.
Tell you what, can I complain about something briefly?
Do we have sure. Please do.
Since we're on TV. If you work for BBC America and you're one of those people who are out there picking what shows to do, don't do it. Don't ever do another show because I'm not watching them. There's been two really good shows that they put on BBC America, and they canceled them both after two seasons.
No.
They canceled Dirk Gently's, which had become probably my favorite show on TV. Now, I'm okay with canceling shows a little early so they don't go on so long that they suck. But they also had a really good show called Copper that was sort of based around the same time with Gangs in New York. And I thought it was really, really good. Same thing. They canceled it after two seasons. So, you British twits, I hate you.
You're blowing it.
Yeah, I hate you. I mean, you're going to go and create really good shows. And, I mean, the BBC shows they do are one thing, but BBC America did these. They're supposed to be America. They screwed us. So, I hate you, BBC America. I will not watch any more of your shows. I digress.
I won't either, just because for solidarity purposes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, you never watched them anyway.
Oh. But still, solidarity.
I appreciate that. What do we got here?
Yes.
I need a new job, AJ.
You do. My computer career can help you out. It's a new year, and what's missing? Happy, as in Happy New Year. Are you happy at your job? If not, why haven't you considered an information technology career? Is it because you weren't the best student in high school? Because you're not great with computers or math? That's okay. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. See if an IT career will work out for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. It's more than just a school. My Computer Career helps you get in the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, so make new year, new career your resolution and take the free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN
97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. Site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, including A.J. Hoffman.
Thank you.
Including John Granato, who's got really good pieces still up on the site. And me. If you're on SportsMap every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now. SportsMap.com. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMap, H-O-U. So, did you follow this Todd Haley story at all?
I haven't.
Apparently, he was in a bar fight.
Sometimes I say I haven't. Incident. Sometimes, like you asked me, have you followed this? Sometimes I'll say no, because I want. Otherwise, it seems silly to to bring it up, and then I'm like, oh, well, tell me all about it, like conversationally. But this time, I really haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently, he was injured in a fall Sunday night after the game, and apparently suffered an hip injury on New Year's Eve. Apparently, he and his wife were involved in an incident at a bar called Tequila Cowboy.
Never go to a bar called that.
Yeah, it's not going to end well.
No way.
Dirty Don's or anything like that. That kind of name, Tequila Cowboy, forget about it. Apparently, someone tweeted, I'm hearing the Haley incident occurred at Tequila Cowboy and police were involved. NFL Media's Mike Garofalo reports that Pittsburgh police say Haley's wife was involved in a scuffle shortly after midnight on New Year's Eve. Police were involved in that incident. Okay, if your wife is somebody who's going to get into a scuffle at right after midnight on New Year's Eve, you might want to be careful with that. But his wife, Christine, was involved in a minor scuffle shortly after midnight. The scuffle was quickly ended. Todd Haley was not involved nor injured. Both Haleys were escorted out of the bar. And the incident that resulted in Haley's injury occurred in a scuffle outside the bar. So he wasn't hurt in the bar, but when they went outside and kept scuffling, he was injured.
Oh, well, sorry.
Considering his name might be coming up for some head coaching jobs again, it's probably not the best timing. But I've been cut off at bars.
Oh, I thought you meant because your wife left.
No, well, that too. But I've been cut off at bars, but I've never been actually kicked out of one that I recall. Maybe once.
Yeah, I don't know that I have either. And there's probably been times where I should have been.
Oh, God, yeah. Now there's a bunch of times I should have been.
But, yeah, I'm usually, I can usually work my way out of it.
Yeah, but usually if you cut me off, I'm leaving anyway.
Right.
I have no point in staying. But, yeah. Mont says, at this rate, I really can't see how NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox can compete with Netflix in terms of TV. Netflix is putting out some serious bangers. It's not just Netflix, I think. I think it's hard for, because when you look at the networks, they do a lot of formulaic things.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It works. Like every NCIS basically is the same plot. It really does. And so they get something that works and they do it. And even shows like Blacklist, which I thought started out really well. It's hard when you're doing 22 episodes a year to do quality television.
Yeah.
Because you have to have it in that Thursday night slot or whatever the night slot is. It has to be there. So you're going to fall back on some of the tropes that they use. And it's hard, I think, to have a show like that and have that many episodes. When you think about 22 episodes, how many seasons of Game of Thrones would that be? Three?
Yeah.
So it is difficult for them to be consistently good over that time. Doesn't mean that there's not some good shows on network. It's just I think from
much fewer.
Yeah, I think from a creative standpoint, especially some of these contained series that they do that are 6 or 8 episodes. I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
Well, that's what I love about this Godless. Apparently, it's like it's a mini series. So I'm gonna watch these 7 episodes
and be done with it.
And I'm never gonna have to think about it again.
Yeah. See, I like that.
I like that too. Because then there's no waiting until the next season or anything like that. But I really think the Netflix stuff is more in competition with HBO, would be my guess.
Yeah, yeah. And Amazon's getting involved in that now.
Yeah.
And I noticed DirecTV is doing its own movies now.
I've seen a couple of those. I haven't watched. I've seen that they've got them. But
well, I was kind of interested in that Bill Pullman Western, but it was too expensive.
How much was it?
I was like, I want to say
$10.
It was more than that.
Oh, no thanks.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not paying that much for it.
Yeah, hell with that.
Yeah, but you know, if they'll just do the $6.99 rental, I'm okay with that. I don't know why I'm not willing to spend $7 more to watch something that I'm in, but I just don't know enough about it. It looks interesting. Think about how many movies you've seen that look interesting, and then you turn it on and it sucks. You're like, damn, I spent $14 on this. Shame bell for me. No, I don't know how we got on TV there. No, thought we were going to talk about Todd Haley and his wife.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about. Something got us off that.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course it did. That's how things work. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. What are the odds? Wednesday. And if you want to get in, be happy to. Do you see the Georgia fans crash StubHub?
No.
Order tickets? Well, basically a home game.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, Georgia, sir.
And, Georgia.
Apparently, right after the win, they were so excited that StubHub's national title game page crashed.
My goodness.
So, yeah. I bet you those tickets are going to be so expensive.
Yeah. I think that both of those teams are going to be well represented.
Oh, yeah. Clayton says Godless may be getting a season 2 reboot. So
Well, damn it.
See, but that happens a lot, too, with these shows. I don't think Stranger Things was ever supposed to be two.
Yeah, but then it had such great success.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, well, we got to do this.
Keep it going.
And I thought season two was okay. It wasn't as good as season one, but, you know, I still think to do it right, you need to do it like Banshee did. Just say, we're doing three seasons, and at the end of that series, I wanted more. And but it ended perfectly. It's like, okay. They didn't go on so long that it became boring. Though I think they could have easily done another year. But, I think this is, everybody talks about, oh, well, this was better back in the day. This was better back in the day. I'll say this without fear of contradiction. Television right now is, for TV shows, is better than it's ever been. The options that we have with Netflix and Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The quality of shows, I think, is better than it's ever been.
Mm, okay.
Top to bottom. And you have more.
I'd argue, like, maybe you could argue for 3-4 years ago when, you know, Breaking Bad was still going strong and.
See, I kind of consider.
Game of Thrones hadn't gotten lazy.
That's true. But I kind of considered that part of this era.
Okay.
You know,
like, if you're talking about this decade.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's an easy.
Yeah, I don't mean like right this moment because, but I do think that those shows. Yeah, the only other stretch I'd look at, but I'd go back to the early HBO stuff, when you had The Wire and The Sopranos and Deadwood.
Those were great,
and that really set the stage though for a lot of these. But I think over the last 10 years, we've had more, just amazing and the depth. But that was kind of it. They had some other shows that were okay, like Dream On, but. The reality is, man, there's so many shows that people are throwing out there, like Godless you're mentioning. And I mean, I probably would say that there's 10 things worth watching. I've watched a couple Netflix shows that are pretty darn good that I would have never thought to watch.
Right.
So I just think the quality is incredible. And I think part of that is they can be more creative with fewer episodes. In reality, it's an extended movie, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of what...
It's like a 7-hour movie or damn near an 8-hour movie.
Yeah, and that's kind of what BBC started with the Sherlock and Luthers and that kind of stuff is, you know, they do 3-hour-and-a-half episodes a year.
Yeah.
And it's very similar when you start spreading it out like this, and I think that gives a lot of creative opportunities for people. What do I have here, Tyler? Ah! Golf Greyhound Park, where we will be tomorrow.
Yes.
They're open for live racing right now, and this is you got a very limited opportunity to get out there and see live dog racing. But we'll be broadcasting the Blitz beginning at 4. There'll be food trucks. There's racing action from some of the greatest greyhounds bred in Texas and across the nation. Now, they do simulcasting all year long, but live greyhound racing right now. And, of course, we'll be giving away some awesome ESPN gear and great prices. And guess what? I'll also be there Saturday from 3:30 to 5:30. We'll be doing a little ESPN section, you know, giving out some betting tips and, you know, do a little handicapping. And we'll also have a handicapping contest. So you have a chance to win great ESPN gear and prizes again when live racing begins at 6. If you haven't been down there before, Greyhound racing is a lot of fun. And this is your opportunity. This isn't going to last long. You're going to get them once every 3 years. And now is the time, 25th anniversary celebration. So go on out. It's in Lamarck. You've seen it on your way to Galveston. Just right down there in Lamarck, Texas. Go to Gulf Greyhound Park. Come visit us. We're off to the races live this Thursday. That's tomorrow at Gulf Greyhound Park. It's all right. Said it's all right. Easy for you to say. Yours never been broken.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.